are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everyone. It is another day and another awesome show to showcase who's next on the podcast. Today we have Dr. Jane Greer. Dr. Greer is a nationally renowned marriage and sex therapist, radio host of the Doctor On Call show, and creator of Shrink Wrap. Her book, What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship, is available nationwide, and we are going to get all into that talk today on our show. Now, what's pretty awesome is that recently I was on Shrink Wrap on Dr. Greer's show not too long ago, and I'm so honored to have her on my show today. So we're going to learn all about her show, how you can follow her, and we're definitely going to have her back on this show as well. So stay tuned for Dr. Greer. All right, everybody, I officially have Dr. Greer on the line. So excited to have you today, Dr. Greer.
Such a pleasure to finally be here and be able to talk with you.
I know. And I was talking earlier when I usually like do little intros about like how I was on your show not too long ago on Shrink Wrap, and it was such a fun experience. And I told everybody they have to tune into that. Do you want to share really briefly about how Shrink Wrap came about?
I would love to. So Shrink Wrap came about. It has an interesting history because it goes all the way back to many years ago, a very dear friend of mine and a colleague who I met on a talk show with celebrities dating after divorce. And this was comedian impressionist Louise Duarte. And we went on the show together. She did some extraordinary impressions. And out of that grew a friendship and a working relationship that we at the time called Celebrity Solutions. And Louise was celebrity and I was solutions. And we worked together. We put together an act where she would do all these different celebrities, Barbara Walters, Kathy Lee Gifford, Joan Rivers, who was a live buster at the time, and use some of the funny material from her act. And then what I would do was really highlight a particular problem, like how do you cope with criticism and how do you deal with loss? And I would give very succinct sound bites on and take away tips on how to deal with each of these different topics, a la the celebrities. So we did this for a period of time, and then we each wandered off in our own different professional directions. But it was always a concept that stayed with me that I loved so much. You know, we all look up to the celebrities, the stars, they shine so brightly. But as my intro for Shrink Wrap on the radio goes, we're puzzled when they fall, so Shrink Wrap is here to shed light on all. And what I started to do was to say, you know what, the celebrities are people just like us. And people watch the soap operas and feel better. They say, well, if they can get through those problems, so can I. And if Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie can flush out a divorce and figure out custody, so can I. So I started to use the celebrities really as a springboard, as a directional to a particular problem that they are dealing with, that you can identify with, very much like when I was writing my various books. I would use case illustrations, and people would read that and say, oh, that's what I've got going on. That's what's happening with my husband. That's what I'm dealing with my wife. And so the celebrities really became an opportunity to present their trials and tribulations and all the things, all the, you know, triumphs that they have as well. And so I started to write about them, and that became my Shrink Wrap blog. And then started to think about, you know, bringing it into the radio show so that all the people who work with celebrities, who aspire to celebrity, who are involved in the celebrity, facet of life, can also come and share how they made that happen. What did they do? How did they do that to themselves so that other people could learn and aspire to follow in their footsteps? And that became the Shrink Wrap part of the hour of my Doctor On Call radio hour.
I love it. And tell everyone, too, like, when they can tune in, how they can find that.
So Doctor On Call is my radio hour. It's every week on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on the East Coast time. And let's see, I might have the times wrong now. If I go, yeah, at 8 a.m., 3 hours difference on the West Coast. And they come to you at healthylife.net. If you go to healthylife.net.com and click on Dr. On Call Radio Hour, you can tune in to the shows that we have. We do two shrink wrap on call shows. We have a pop psych show, and we have a let's talk sex show. So each week, one of those shows is airing. Pop psych, we cover everything mental health related, psychology driven, research oriented, relationship issues that you're having. Let's talk sex. Well, let's talk sex. And Shrink Wrap On Call is all about the celebrities and how they lead the way, but we can set our own path by learning from them.
No, these are all like really valuable things. I really admire that you like felt to bring the celebrities in as a relatable trait for people to listen and feel like they're not alone. You know what I mean? I really like right. that touch to it. And I feel like people are like, well, if they're so much in the public eye, you know, like, and they can handle something, why can't I?
Exactly. You've got it. I mean, because so often we do get motivated by what somebody else can do, what somebody else has overcome. And a lot of times the celebrities look like they're living these golden lives, that they have these dream tickets with an all-expense-paid trip to the moon. And when you do have an opportunity to hear them talking about their struggles and the things they've overcome, the rejection, you know, how they've soldiered on and the tenacity for many, many years, the stress of the lives that they live in order to pursue their craft and their art, being on the road, being away from their loved one, having to balance career and raising their children. I mean, we all go through exactly the same thing in a modified version.
Right.
And so seeing that they're able to do it, you know, really lends hope. It gives us suggestions and guidance. And, you know, I just, it makes it, a little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down. It makes it easier, I think, sometimes to read about a problem that, you know, a lot of times we don't want to acknowledge, gee, maybe I've got something going on physically and I need to go to the doctor. Even my blog this week is going to be on Heather Locklear. Like, when do you let a family member know that they need help? And, you know, these are things that we all encounter. Somebody's drinking too much or doing drugs or seems depressed. They don't want to go get help. And you want to get them the help before they spiral so out of control that they wind up needing to be hospitalized, as was the case with Heather. But, you know, they light the path in terms of the journey and the road that we all travel.
Right. Well, because it's so much for the public eye to see, and that's why I totally think it's, like, inspiring that you work off of that and share that story that, like, they're not alone and you could be going through this too, and these are some advice things that I have for you, you know?
Right, and exactly. And from my days of teaching and my work as a therapist, excuse me, many years ago, one of the professors and mentors that I had that I truly, truly admired and just thought the world of, she was so conceptually and theoretically astute and really knew what she was doing. And she said, you know, whether you're doing a therapy session or you're teaching a class, there's so much material, there's so much that goes on. She said, and don't try and jam so much in that everybody's going to, you know, be overloaded and you're going to be overloaded with what do you teach, what do you remember? She said, if somebody leaves the session or leaves a class with one or two things that are meaningful, that can give them that aha moment. Oh, I didn't see it like that. Oh, I get it. Then you've done a great job. And so shrink wrap, the blogs are just that. They are consolidated. They're short, easy reads. They cover all kinds of topics, divorce, sexless marriages, dating after divorce, getting over a broken heart. I mean, you name it. It's covered in the shrink wrap blogs. When do you get help? Dating long distance. Everything the celebrities have gone through, they're there. But with that being said, the advice is quick, easy, accessible, user-friendly, and succinct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the good news is that it's cold over, and it comes from my many years of experience in working with these topics and really trying to cut things down to sound bites and small portions so that it's not overwhelming.
Right. It's like more digestible, right? Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it totally makes sense. And then my next question is going to be, like, how did you fall into the world of helping families and couples and all of that stuff? How did you become a therapist?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I never, it was never, like some people will say they want to be a doctor or they want to be a journalist when they grow up. They kind of have their destination in their sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't. I really was not focused on what I wanted to be. However, it was what I was being all the way from early on in my life, which was I always wanted to help people. So I was the kid, if you were in school and you wanted a breakup letter for your boyfriend, I'd write it for you. I would switch out. Callback was not my favorite topic at all. So if you would sew my apron or help me with the cake, I would write your breakup letter. I would help you figure out why he was ignoring you. And so I was always, always helping people. And in my yearbook, people would say, you know more about me than anybody else. Because I always loved to know what was going on, and I always wanted to help people feel better, and always seemed to have some sense of what could make the situation better, or what they could do to make the relationship better. And then, as I got older, much to my delight, I realized that there was a whole profession of helping people, and that's what, you know, led me down the course of becoming a therapist. I said, well, this is great. I get to do what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's interesting because my husband is also a therapist. So we very often are out with people, and I just have an innate interest in what's going on. I want to know. People will start to talk. I'll start to ask questions. And he's like, honey, can't you stop? Can't you not be a therapist? And I say, I'm not being a therapist. I'm just having a conversation and finding out what's going on. And if there are a couple of quick tips I can offer, well, there you go. So.
I love that. Oh my God, the breakup letters. Going back to what you said earlier, that was adorable. That's hysterical. I love that.
Thank you. It's so funny, but you know, look, you have to take advantage of any opportunity. Those cakes used to really confound me.
I'm sure.
And the apron and, you know, threading the needle, forget about it. But I had the words to say it. And, you know, it's funny because I had friends who back in the day would say, oh, wait, right? Let me just write down what you're saying. And like, oh, come on, you'll remember. And sometimes my mom would write down, oh, I love what you just said. I'm going to write it down. And I would say, I keep being so silly. Why are you writing it down? But with that being said, the words to say something, it's the most powerful tool, instrument that we have. And many times we are so stuck in and steeped in our emotions that we can't, it's like being in a pool of glue and we can't swim out.
Right.
And with the words to say to somebody, stop, or I'm upset with you, or no, that's not going to work, or thanks, but no thanks. Just the how do we address somebody who's hurting our feelings or confront somebody when we feel guilty, it gives you such emotional freedom. So in my office, I have a pad and paper, and to this day, people will say, can I tape it? Can I record? Or they'll take the pad and paper and they'll write things down. And I now appreciate from when I was younger and didn't understand why are you writing it down, why it's so important, because you don't remember.
Right.
You
know? In the moment,
when you're dealing with emotions, you absolutely don't remember what somebody says. Well, why don't you say this? And, you know, so many times I remember as a child when I would ask my mom, well, what do I do with this or what do I do with that? She would say, well, why don't you say this or why don't you say that? And I'd say, God, I wish you could say it for me.
Marie.
And now all my patients very often will say, well, can't you just say that to my mother for me, please? Can't you just tell that to my husband, please? And I say, you will have the power. You will have the words. You can say this to your husband or your mother or your wife, whomever. And it's more important that you say it. Here are the words. Practice them. Own them so that your emotional energy infuses them. And then yourself.
I love it. No, this is like really inspiring, Dr. Greer. We always have great conversations. So,
thank you. Well, you're asking wonderful questions that are just prompting me to share information that I wouldn't have been thinking about.
Good. I'm so glad. That's the point of the show. So that's really, really good. So of course I want to, you know, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to tap into your fabulous book, What About Me? Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. So tell us what inspired this book.
Because one of my previous books was How Could You Do This to Me? Stop Learning to Trust After Betrayal. So it was all about, you know, what was done to you and how could you do this to me and the other person in the relationship and their behavior. So What About Me came about because so often I was hearing people complaining about their partners being so selfish, being so oblivious, being so controlling, being so self-absorbed, being so narcissistic. And they were really stuck. What do I do? What do I say? How do I handle this? You know, my husband saying to me, if you love me, you would let my mother move in with us on, you know, and live here. If you love me, you would visit my siblings every week. If you love me, you would have, you know, I would handle all the money and there'd be one bank account. If you love me, you would have a baby. If you love me, you would get engaged. If you love me, you would have sex with me every night. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on.
I'm sure you can.
Right? And the truth of it is that it's not whether somebody loves you or not. It's that their needs may very well be different than your needs. And then the question becomes, how do you reconcile that? You can be very loved by your partner, but he may have come from two kids in the family, and he only wants two children. He doesn't want four.
Right.
He can't even envision. And the idea of financial responsibility and everything else that it entails, he can't even wrap his head around it. You might love him very much, but your sexual appetite is quite different than his. And, you know, twice a day is not your idea of a good, you know, a good sufficient amount of sex, maybe twice a week. Whereas for him, twice a day, every night, is what he thinks is a great level of intimacy. And so how do you find the middle ground between the different needs where you're comfortable with one thing and it's not about loving more or less, it's about energy, it's about desire. And how do, you know, somebody wants to go to an Italian restaurant for dinner and the other person wants Chinese, doesn't mean you love your partner less, it just means you have different preferences and different tastes and different moods. And how do you compromise? So the art, you know, the art of the compromise, the art of learning how to share, learning how to negotiate the differences between you without, I call it, you know, play the ace of hearts. Acknowledge, consider, and empathize with your partner. Don't use the bat, blaming, attacking, and triggering them with hostile comments. Learning how to talk, learning how to handle your anger, learning how to put things in a way that your partner hears and wants to do, as opposed to feeling blamed and criticized by you and resentful and wants nothing to do with it. I said, you know what? I want to teach people how to do that because it will absolutely help their relationships, heal their relationships, and strengthen their relationships. So that's how What About Me came about.
Love it. And it's all relatable stuff that people deal with on a hourly basis, especially, you know, with relationships, you know?
Because it's interesting. I've found that quite a few men will read the book and buy the book and come in and bring their spouses in having read the book, not because their wives are so selfish, but because they realize through some of the examples the way that they're acting and how that might be distancing their wives or turning their wives off or pushing their wives out of the relationship.
You're kidding.
So I kid you not. I've
wow.
had several men who, of course, because they said, God, now I can see, you know, that's me. I've really been too selfish. And, you know, so I found that very heartening that, you know, that I was able to write it in a way that people could really see themselves and identify without feeling badly, but feeling motivated to change it, which is the whole point.
Right.
So, you know, that was really encouraging and empowering.
No, it is. I mean, that's awesome that they acknowledged it and they wanted to do something about it because guys are such a 50-50 scale on that, right?
You said it. And a lot of times it's not 50-50. It's funny. My mom had a funny expression she used to say all the time, be reasonable, do it my way. A lot of times, that's how couples feel. Like, come on, be reasonable, do it my way.
Right.
You know, and everybody feels like, you know, do it the way I want. And we all have to learn how to compromise and make concessions and problem solve and not withdraw in anger or retreat in anger or above somebody because they're not saying or doing what we need them to do.
Right.
So it's you know, it's a book that's user-friendly. There are easy, accessible tips and skills that you can learn and implement immediately. My whole goal was always, let's make it easier immediately. Let me give you something that's going to work right away. It's like an Excedrin extra strength when you've got a roaring headache. You want relief immediately. You don't, you know, if you're coming into therapy, you don't want to, and of course, obviously the past matters and we deal with it. But I remember I had one person who came in and I told her what she needed to do and she looked at me incredulously and I knew she wasn't going to, you know, she was not having an easy go of it. And I said, look, it's up to you. I am telling you this will work, but you have to feel comfortable. You have to be able to try it. So she came back and she said, you know, I was shocked. I just didn't think it was going to work. I thought, I can't do this. And then I couldn't believe it. It worked. I said, well, I knew. I said, either you were going to give it a whirl and see that it worked, or I was never going to see you again.
Right.
And she said, I am so glad that I tried it and that I'm back here. It's the best advice I ever had. But point being, I like things. I like people to be able to get relief. You know, we all have so much stress and are so overwhelmed, and there's so much we have to deal with that if we can grab hold of one facet of our life, that your husband's being too selfish, and here's a way to put a boundary in place. Here's a way to assert your need, or here's a way to get on the page and feel represented in terms of whose needs get paid, you know, attention and get met. Then, you know, that's what this book does. It gives you some of those grab hold, hands-on tips.
Love it. Love it all. And how can they get it?
Thank you. Well, if you go to drjanegreer.com, all my books are there on Amazon. You can click on them. I have How Could You Do This to Me on Betrayal, What About Me, Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship. I have a book called Gridlock, Finding the Courage to Move On in Love, Work, and Life. But if you're stuck in your job or your love life, your marriage, your relationship, or, you know, just in life in general, and you want to read Gridlock. And if anybody out there has lost a loved one, and you're dealing with the pain of grief and losing a loved one, I have a book called The Afterlife Connection, A Therapist Reveals How to Communicate with Departed Loved Ones. And that's really, that came out of my own devastating loss of my mom and the remarkable ongoing afterlife conversation that began literally right after she passed. And now she's gone 20 years, but continues to enrich me and be present in my life with abundant signs and remarkable communications. And the book is really about how to learn to ask for the signs. I teach people how to recognize the signs, how to communicate with their departed loved ones, which is like, you know, aloe for a sunburn. It's an elixir for the broken heart of grief.
Powerful stuff, Dr. Greer. Love it.
So, yeah, all of that is on my website, drjanegreer.com.
Awesome. And I want to ask you one final question because we can't go into a full game time, but this will be fun and relatable to what you talk about on a daily basis. If you could marry, yes, screw, and kill three celebrities, who would they be and why?
If I could marry?
Screw.
Three celebrities?
Uh-huh. And kill.
Wait, I didn't hear the last question. If I could marry, say the last part.
Marry, screw, and like not like kick someone off a bridge or something. Like get, like you wouldn't want to be with them at all. Who would they be and why?
Oh, well, now I have to. Well, absolutely Ryan Gosling. He's adorable.
I agree. Wait, so is he the one you'd marry?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's adorable. Let's see. Now I have to think of some of the guys. Throw out a couple of names because I'll go blank and I can say yay or nay.
Do you have like Mark Wahlberg? I don't know. What's your type? I mean, there's so many of them.
There are so many of them. I need a list. One of my favorites.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, absolutely. I love him.
Okay, so he would be somebody you would screw?
Absolutely, Ryan Reynolds. Okay. Hey, they're both Ryan. I mean, they're both adorable.
Yeah, they both really are. They both totally are. And if there's somebody that you just want, that you have no interest in, who is it and why?
No interest in, yeah, you know what? This is going to sound horrible. Christian Slater.
Oh, my God. Well, he's getting older now anyway, right?
You know, I just don't find myself interested in enough even to watch his work or listen to an interview. And I only know that because I saw him today on TV, and I thought, oh, I'm not interested.
So it stuck out for you. It was meant for me to ask you this question today. That's hysterical.
So, it's really timely. But, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, oh, they're adorable.
They really are.
You know, if I thought about it, if I had a list of the people, like they would jump up. But those two, Ryan Gosling, I've always been just awed by his acting ability since he did, oh God, this first movie, I forget the name of it now. He played a, I don't remember. I don't even remember the name of it, but in any event, he's just amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with you. Awesome. You did a great job, Dr. Greer. That was fun. So tell everyone how they can follow you on social media before we close out.
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Jane Greer or Facebook at drjanegreer.com. Wait, let me just make sure I'm reading this the right thing. Hold on one second. That would be at... I should know this. Yeah, on Facebook or Dr. Jane Greer. And also, if anybody wants to get any questions answered, you can email the questions to me at askdrjane@drjanegreer.com. So if anybody's out there listening and saying, all right, I could go with a quick, easy question, what we do is I answer them on the Let's Talk Sex Show. We have a mailbag, and I answer them the last show of every month. So anybody... if you're curious or wondering about anything, you can get your questions asked and answered on the Let's Talk Sex Show at the end of the month.
Love it.
On my Facebook page and on Twitter at Dr. Jane Greer.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Greer, for coming on today. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And thank you for such a fun interview with great questions and for making me remember things I would not have seen.
I'm so glad. Well, that was the point of it. So thank you again, Dr. Greer. Everybody definitely check out Shrink Wrap and get in touch with her through social media and, inquire with some questions. She's awesome. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Next on Scene. And stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@jzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at JZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.